You're listening to the WYXR Archived, powered by listeners like you. Donate online today at WYXR.org.
Greerville is taking legal action against a homeowner whose recent house party resulted in multiple arrests. Abigail Warren says the town filed a complaint in Shelby County Chancery Court against Rodney Williams.
There have been two problematic parties at Williams Mayfield Road home. At both, attendees were charged admission. According to the lawsuit, charging for admission violates town guidelines because it's considered running a business enterprise in a residential district. The lawsuit also cited other issues with the parties, including noise violations, parking problems, and safety concerns. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Abigail Moyne.
The new director of the Memphis Parks Division has been named. Justice Bolden, who most recently was the recreation supervisor for the city of Oakland, California, worked as an athletic specialist for Memphis Parks from 2008 to 2012, while earning his master's degree in city and regional planning from the University of Memphis. Bolden succeeds Nick Walker, who left the job in January to become parks director for Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. For Buildreys, I'm Natalie Van Gundy. More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
Soothes me. I love the way that it's. happy, happy, happy to everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. Y'all know what today is, right? It is a wonderful Wednesday. And why is it wonderful Wednesday? Because you got me, Dr. Talisa Franklin, on. Let's have a talk with Talisa. And one thing, each and every Wednesday, I try to make sure that we bring to the airways of WYXR is powerful people that's doing powerful things in our community to move the needle. We got to stop not talking about how we move the needle and start activating, moving the needle in our community. And I'm always excited to have somebody that's in the studio with me today that really have a true, genuine heart for the community. And when I tell you he has a heart for the community, he has a heart for the community, how we move the community to the next. And he's doing the work. And he comes from a legacy of a name of doing the work. And I'm always proud to call him brother. I'm always proud to call him friend. Will you welcome with the county commissioner himself, Mikhail Lowry of District 8, correct?
Oh, that's right. It's right, Dr. Talisa. How you doing today?
Man, you know it's just Talisa.
Well, you know, you got to put the respect on your name. But no, I appreciate it. Good to be with you.
Oh, it's good to be here. Good to have you here. So, you know, before I just dive in and we just have this conversation, why don't you tell the listeners of WYXR 91.7, even the ones that's walking around across town, who is Mikhail Lowry?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question right there. But, you know, first of all, I got to say that I'm a father. It comes first. I'm a husband, a Memphian. Obviously born right here, so have a heart for our city. Those are the most important things. But beyond that, I I'm a county commissioner, and I've been proud to serve District 8. Well, we're right outside of District 8. I mean, we're like right on the borderline, yeah. Really, when it comes to it. So I still consider Crosstown to be District 8 as well. So extremely proud to represent this area, which includes parts of, you know, South Memphis and downtown and in North Memphis and Frazier. It's been the honor that I've had to serve those folks, and hopefully we've done a lot of great things to move forward. But it's like anything else, somebody else has to come behind me, yeah, and elevate the role. That's what I'm looking to do. Hopefully someone comes behind me and elevate the role, just like I hopefully the next thing I'll do, I'll elevate whatever that may be as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so when you're thinking about, for me, when I think of Mikhail, I've always thought of service. And I want to say this publicly, thank you for making sure Juneteenth was recognized.
Oh, thank you.
Kind of talk about that, because a lot of times people, you know, we always think, we hear about Grandmother Opalie, which I absolutely adore. Anybody know I love her?
Sure.
Making it a national holiday. But before it was a national holiday, there was a Mikhail Lowry that, yeah, made sure Juneteenth had presence in our city. And me being the leader of Juneteenth, I never forgot that, because there were so many years. I always tell people, when you think about Juneteenth, we were doing Juneteenth before it was cool, before, mm-hmm, it was a hashtag, before
you
it was
sure
a national
were
holiday.
That's right.
We've been on the ground.
That's right.
Right.
That's
so
right.
Tell everybody why. Tell us the background.
Well, you know, thank you for mentioning that, because, you know, now it's a federal holiday and we all recognize it. But some people don't know that Shelby County, we recognized that first before it became a federal holiday. And thanks to you for all the work that you've done, Talisa, to lead this effort when it comes to Juneteenth. You're right. Before it was cool, before everyone knew what it was, you were continuously doing that work and make it recognizable. But, you know, unfortunately, during the time of George Floyd's murder, mm-hmm, we got to see a lot of just inequities that were just taking place. And quite frankly, we all were made to sit and watch it because we're all at home during that time.
Mm-hmm.
We're during the pandemic. We saw a lot of things that weren't going well, and how we need to make sure we're recognizing, you know, the diversity and the beauty of our people, no matter who you are, no matter who you are. And Juneteenth has for so long been a date that's been recognized by a certain sector of the population, but not really noticed by a lot of sectors of the population. It's an important day in our history, and I was immensely proud to put that forth, to sponsor that, to be a holiday for Shelby County, which means that all of Shelby County employees will get that day off and recognition, and really you spur other communities and other businesses to do the same. So I'm glad that passed unanimously, something I was extremely proud of. And then, of course, I was proud that President Biden came behind and made a federal holiday. But never forget that we did it first in Shelby County.
And that's a beautiful, I always tell people, we we was doing Juneteenth way before everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon.
That's right.
And then we have leaders like yourself of Mikhail Lowry that saw the work and say, let's make sure the people that's in the county get a day off so they can enjoy, commemorate, and reflect on Juneteenth. And so that's just, for me, that's just one of the little bitty kibbles of your success, right? And so I know you got a lot of things that you're working on your county level in your seat, but let's talk about some of the other initiatives that's dear to your heart. Because one thing, if anybody know you or know your family, you are an LOC lover.
That's right? That's right.
And it's so funny. I was having a conversation with my son yesterday because he'll be finishing up with Southwest, and he was like, "Well, Mom, I think I'm gonna just go to Valley." I was like, "You sure you don't want to go to LOC?
I mean, might as well go there and take a little tour and see what's about." Hey, listen, I'm all about HBCU love at the end of the day. But obviously, you know, being a proud graduate of Lemoyne Orr College, and obviously my father went to Lemoyne. And if it wasn't for Lemoyne, who knows where he would be and I would be. So we owe so much, not only to our community, but to that school and to those teachers, to those administrators. Some of them, they're still here today. And some of them are not longer with us, but they just shaped our lives. I played basketball Talisa at Lemoyne Orr College. I played for the legendary coach Jerry Johnson. And a lot of folks don't know about this is that he's like, you know, number three overall for top Division II winning coaches in the history of collegiate sports. And Lemoyne Orr College, shout out to this being the 50th year, is the only men's basketball team that's ever won a national championship in the state of Tennessee.
You better educate us.
Of Tennessee. No, I said the men's team. Yes, the Vols won, but those were the Lady Vols. And shout out to all the Vols fans. But Lemoyne Orr College is the only men's basketball team in the state of Tennessee that's ever won a national championship. They won it in 1975. This is the 50th year. So you're right. I love that school. Love Lemoyne. And always making sure that we're giving back because we know what that's done for so many people. They sometimes take what we like to call diamonds in the rough. And you think about it, Talisa, while we're talking about a lot of public service, gosh, when you think about, you know, mayors and city council folks and state representatives, anyone from the Lois D. Berry to obviously W. Harrington and to Benjamin Hooks to so many others, right? Marion Barry, mayor of D.C. Obviously, Myron Lowry, guys, shout out my dad when it comes to that as well. So many people that have walked those halls and had an influence there in our community. So, yes, always going to make sure I represent Lemoyne and support them going forward.
And so when you're thinking about Lemoyne is a community HBCU school that many people around the world recognize what's going on in our community. But I always say there is some more work that we must do in our community. And I know as for you as an elected official, but for me, I think you have a servant's heart, right? So it's not so much about the title, it's about the service. And so in your work of let's not talk to the commissioner, Mikhail. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk to the person, Mikhail.
Yeah, sure.
And so the person, Mikhail, how do you feel that we can move our needle? Because I know, you know, as you've been in office for so many years, you've seen things come, go. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But how do we continue to move forward in our communities? Because I think we're lacking in some areas. Because you said something to me, and I use a phrase all the time. The messenger matters, right?
Right.
And so kind of share with our listeners at 91.7 WYXR and that's listening here in Crosstown and around. What did you mean, like you share with me, messenger matters?
You know, I take that heart to heart because you ever think about it this way? You ever, for those of us, obviously, you're going to church and you're getting poured into spiritually. And, you know, for those who've gone around, it's nothing really new under the sun, mm-hmm. right? You've heard a sermon, you've heard the speech, or you've heard whatever it may be. But you ever know you go to church one day and the pastor says something, it really resonates with
mm-hmm.
you. It's not like you never heard it before.
Right.
You've heard that story, you've heard that parable, you've heard that scripture probably before.
Yeah.
But the way that minister, he or she that had that really that spoke to you, you're like, well, that struck home with me.
Yeah.
So that's what I really mean by the messenger matters. We all understand that we have issues in our community. We all understand that we got to be doing a better job when it's taking care of our youth, our seniors, and everything else. Quite frankly, we all should know, hopefully, that we need a little bit of a culture change when it comes to some things that we accept when it comes to those things. Well, obviously, with the messenger matters, the person that can really resonate and try to make sure that everyone's included in that. That doesn't mean everybody's going to be happy. That means it's utopia. But who can come along and really deliver that message that really gets people on board from a youth standpoint, that get people on board who may not be doing up and up things, but also talking to people in the community and make people come together. So we need people who are uniters when it comes to that. We need people who take ownership of that. Quite frankly, you talk about the person. For me, I've already, people are like, what makes you successful? I always knew and said to myself, I'll consider myself successful when I'm able to put people in a position to be successful. So that's my measurement of success, is how I can help others and how I can help other people be in a position to be successful. And that's just a motto I live by. That's hopefully something I will do in the public service and as well the private sector as well. People need to understand that no one gets to where they are by themselves. I don't care who you are in life. Claim it if you want to, but somebody helped you along the way with prayer and everything else. So that's what we got to be doing as far as community, looking for is who we can help along the way. Doesn't mean that you can boil the ocean. Doesn't mean that you save everybody. But if you can save one person, you never know. That person may be the catalyst to change the entire culture. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Since we're on the radio, it's a quote that that I remember Tupac saying from hip hop heads out there.
You love hip hop.
I do. But, Tupac said, I may not change the world, he said, but I guarantee you I'm going to spark the brain that changes the world. And what he meant by that is, like, it may not be me, but through my music, through my whatever I may doing, that mean everybody's perfect, that he's going to spark something in someone to help someone else. And that's what we all should be doing from a community standpoint and everything else. Who can you touch? Who can you lay your hands on to say, you know what, someone did it for me, let me do it for someone else?
Big facts. And you said something by using the parable of the pastors, right? Because there's sometimes I know that I may say something on the pulpit and they be like, oh, she just talking, right? Mm-hmm. And then my Uncle Daddy could say something. They be like, I was like, well, heck, I just said the same thing.
Right.
But the messenger matters. Yeah. But the ultimate goal is, regardless for me, whether they got it from me or they got it from him, did they get the message?
That's right.
Did
he got it from somewhere. Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
And so I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in our previous conversation is that we get so wrapped up in that person that we miss that the person that really can get the message, right? Because like a lot of times we have our children and we may be telling our children the same thing over and over and over again. But a teacher or an outsider can tell that child the very same thing. And then that child listens, but ultimately then that child wins and do whatever. But it wasn't a loss for us. It wasn't a loss, a gain for them. It was a gain for everybody because that child got the message.
You know what? I mean, that's a good point. And when I say the messenger matters, you need multiple messengers.
Yes.
Because people speak to different and hear things differently, yes. Right? We can't just have one message. That's why we don't just have one book or one radio mm-hmm. station, one TV station. We got to have something that speaks to everyone.
Yeah.
So depending on what's needed, that's when the messenger matters. Look, you talk about that from other people. I'm talking about even my household. It depends on the day. I may say something to my girls and, you know, it go over their head or they're like, whatever, Dad. Then mom says it and they write on it. I'm like, didn't I just say the same thing?
Right.
Did I not word it the right way or something? So it goes to all of us, right? You know, we got to make sure that we're trying to speak to everyone. But again, sometimes the message is going to be different from what's needed to be heard, right? There's a message that's going to be different from our community work. Mm-hmm. There's messages, different messages going to be done for our messages with the youth. And especially folks who may be justice involved, they're going to hear things differently. The message needs to be different from a county government standpoint.
Yes.
And especially from an executive standpoint, what language are you speaking there that speaks to most people? So it's not just one person. It's just that whenever you're developing that message, it's going to matter to who you speak it to. You got to know your audience and you got to know how you can hopefully convey them to bring them in to help it resonate.
Yeah. And when you think about that, I was telling somebody about, we have to be bridge builders and not bridge burners, right? So that way that if you don't get it and I don't get it, how do we work, put our backs together and be a bridge so others can cross over? And so when you're thinking about community, we have so many people, I believe, breaking the bridge because I didn't build the bridge. I didn't tell you to go over the bridge. And so you didn't kiss my ring. You can't get over. But what happens if everybody said, let's work together and let's move our community? Because our community has some good, we got some bad, and God knows we got some uglies, right?
For sure.
But the right messenger can help resolve some of those ugly issues in our community by just having the right message to the community.
I believe it. Listen, that doesn't mean it's going to be utopia. Yeah. That means that we're not going to have a community that has no problems. But, you know, I'm firmly believing that we looking deep in ourselves and say, okay, how do we go about changing our culture when it comes to that? Change the culture, what you just mentioned of saying, well, because I didn't lay the groundwork, you know, I don't get pat on the back, or it wasn't my plan, so it didn't go forth. And that we can go further together when it comes to some of these things. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a culture change when it comes to that, but people need to see some success going forward. Because right now we have a community that's sometimes a little bit jaded for some things, right? We got a reason to be when it comes to some things. But I'm a forever be an optimist when it comes to our community and what we can be, because I see the talent. And sometimes so many people come to our city or our county, they visit and they fall in love with Memphis Shelby County. Like, oh my gosh, you have this, you have that. And then sometimes we look at ourselves in the old mirror and like, wait a minute, we got all that? Do we really? So sometimes we got to toot our own horn. We got to pat ourselves on the back and say, you know what? Why not us? And again, understand that just because we have challenges doesn't mean that we can't be optimistic what we look like going into the future.
And so when you think about that, that's the community, Mikhail. Now I want to talk to the commissioner, Mikhail Larry, because I believe that all of that you did as a human, you have to do it as steroids when you're in an elected position or you in a position that you really can move the needle. So let's talk about some of the wins that you have felt, because you've been in office, what?
7 years.
7 years. So going into your 8th year.
Right.
So in 7 years, what has the community servant Mikhail seen differently now as the commissioner that had the power to make the change?
Yeah. So, you know, you every time someone goes into office, you go in with these grandiose ideas, and then you got to figure out, how do you get things done? How do you work with people, right? Because not one person can get anything done, especially on any legislative body. You need, you know, a commission, you need 7 votes to get things done. But I'm going to tell you what some things I'm proud of over the 7 years, and you know, I won't leave anything out, but you know, I'm going to start with my district, number one, then I'm going to go to my countywide standpoint. Okay. Because, you know, I'm extremely proud that we're having a new school being built in Fraser. That community hasn't had a new school for decades. And you can see the impact that has on communities. I believe better schools help build better communities at the end of the day. And I'm excited and optimistic about what that's going to do for Fraser in that area. So extremely proud to represent that area and see that come to fruition. Also, continuously proud of what we're doing to build a world-class hospital in Shelby County, in Memphis, in Regional 1. Regional 1 is the county's responsibility. I was chairman of the board when we made that happen for the 2 new schools as well. So extremely proud to see what we can do there going forward. But also some things that people may not see overnight, because sometimes when you come to government, some things that you happen, you do, you don't see it the next year, wherever it may be. But in South Memphis, and as well as over the Cleveland area, we've developed TIF districts. We said, what is TIF districts? Well, TIFs are designed to incentivize development in areas. So what it does is takes the tax dollars that are around that area, you pour into development. So those things that we may not see overnight, we'll see down the road, because now you have incentivizing development in underserved areas. For those of you that are familiar with Raleigh and other areas, you've seen those TIFs being Raleigh. You see with those, the library, and how that's changed, and how you might see Chick-fil-A or Bojangles or Starbucks going down the road there. And I know that area well. I went to Craigmont, so I remember those being my stomping grounds at the Raleigh Springs Mall. But you can see what that area looks like now when it was really blighted for a long time. And so those things don't happen overnight. You kind of take those things and put those things in fruition, and you see development come down the road. So I'm excited what's that's going to happen in South Memphis, in the Cleveland area, kind of what's happened here in Crosstown. Yeah. You had to have the government intervention first before you take an area like this that was blighted, quite frankly, and turn it into something that now people can come have incubators and businesses and classrooms and community gathering spots. So extremely proud of those things that we've accomplished over those years. A lot more work to do, because there's always new needs. We got to lean in more to education, lean in more to pre-K. I'm a firm believer in that. I believe we're going to change our culture and our community. We got to start with the youngest of those and show them a new pathway forward and start getting their classrooms. So there's always work to be done. So I never want to say that we're resting. But I do want to say that those are some things that we're proud of, and proud of that we've gotten pre-K for the most part started in all of our county. Proud of the things that we've done for some of our justice involved youth, because we got to show them pathways forward, because if we don't, we just perpetuate the same cycle over and over again. So we got to build into those mentorships and build into those youth internship programs to youth sports, and not just the sports, but the arts in general as well. You know, beautiful places like this in Crosstown help us to do that. So a lot of more work to do, but I'm proud of what we've accomplished, and looking forward to whoever comes in behind me and the next body to continue to elevate in that and push it forward.
So there are some things that I heard you said, and you've only been in office for 7 years, right? Mm-hmm. You literally, in our short time of 20 minutes talking, you've given me 7 things that you've had your hands on to see move the needle for our community. Of course, the first thing that we know that you move the needle is making sure we were able to have the new Fraser High School. I'm a girl, I love the Bay, and everybody know I love the Bay with all of my heart. But I looked at so many years that the Bay felt nobody cared. They felt that nobody listened. We sometimes felt that we never gave our children an opportunity to be successful as other children that's in other areas. However, you were at the forefront and saying, we need to get this funding. We need to do this regardless of whatever pushback. And I'm sure it wasn't easy. Kat, I want you to even talk about, because, you know, when you think about the wins, people say, oh, that's just a win. But before the win, there was a fight.
Oh, goodness.
So talk about the fight, because you had to put your dukes up, boo.
Hey, let me tell you. We were elected. Well, I was elected in 2018. In 2018, during the mayor's, one of his first public addresses, in 2018, he was talking about new high schools.
Mm-hmm.
So to think about that, we just broke ground on that this year.
Right.
So think about how long that's taken from discussion to fruition. And during that time, can I allude it to as well, we all went through something that, you know, we've never seen before in our lifetime, which is a pandemic.
Right.
We know we were all sheltered in place. Yeah, obviously, unfortunately, a lot of people are no longer with us during that time. We went through vaccinations. We went through a whole thing about how do we put people to work? How do we, you know, put up plans so people could, you know, supplement their lives, whatever it may be. I remember one thing. Now you helped me remember some other stuff here. I was really proud of what we did for barbershops and beauty shops, and I led the fight on that as well. Because you got to think about it, while we're sitting at home, the people in the beauty salons aren't working, barbers aren't working, and so we were able to put up grants for those folks to really get money and really help supplement their lifestyles and everything else, hopefully maybe just pay some bills, quite frankly, because we were all told to shelter in place.
Mm-hmm.
But so going through those things, we always have competing priorities. And don't get me wrong, there are other communities in our county who need better schools as well, so we can line them up. Yeah. Quite frankly, it's just the fact that obviously what took place with ASD and everything else when Fraser really took a toll in that community, really, mm-hmm. you know, really had people sprawled out in different schools, really conveyed different sectors of that community that really kind of almost banded against each other when it comes to kids. You know how it is. You know how it is when you and I, when we were in school, you went to one school, you claimed that area.
Yeah.
Right? So imagine you having 3 schools in one area and people claiming certain areas, and, you know, it really just really perpetuated the cycle that we didn't need in that area. So there was a lot of fight, because you got to find money to pay for it, because our budget is fixed. So if we're going to pay for something new, then we got to find new sources of revenue,
mm-hmm.
which is sometimes unpopular. But if we're going to be different, if we're going to make investments, we got to look into that as well. And so I know we're overtaxed when it comes to West Tennessee. I get it. But if we're going to be better, we got to think about, well, how do we go to invest in these communities? So that's where the fight comes into, because it's never just, hey, you want to get it done. You got to go through, how do you convince people to get on your side? Mm-hmm. How do you understand people resonate that we're going to, you know, probably increase fees here so we can pay for this? But why does that make it all the while better for the overall community? So these things don't come easy. They come with a lot of negotiation and everything else. But that's why I go back to say the messenger matters when it comes to these things. And I was, you know, proud to be chairman during those times when we found those things. I'm proud of the county commission for stepping up and doing the right thing. Some things, most things I agree with what we do, some things I don't. But that's mm-hmm. what happens when you have a legislative body.
You know, again, messenger matters, because I knew there was a fight, but I'm grateful that you didn't give up on the fight. Because there's a lot of people who be like, man, you know what? Let's just do some low-hanging fruit while I'm in office. And let's not shake up the warts nets. And let's not even worry about that. But you wasn't afraid to go in those deep areas and say, Frazier deserves a high quality high school.
That's right.
And then one of your other accomplishments, because a lot we always talk about the good, but I like to come back and let people hear that the bad, because it ain't always been, you know, I'm at the county commission meetings and if I'm not making it, I'm listening for a while. And you all that's listening, get involved in everything so that you won't not get the wrong message from the wrong messenger. Regional One. Now, let me give kudos. Regional One is by far one of the premier hospitals, especially with trauma. If something happened and it's traumatic, baby, take me to the med. Y'all know the med, right?
That's right.
Y'all, we said Regional One, but take me to the med. So kind of talk about some of the challenges that you use as the messenger to convey to your other counterparts, this is what we need to do. The med needs us. Regional One needs us. Our community needs Regional One to be in a better position.
Well, a lot of people didn't know, Talisa, that number one, that the county is responsible for Regional One. Mm. Some people don't know that. Some people don't, you know, they may think about just any other hospital. No, the county is responsible. It owns it. At the end of the day, it's the county's responsibility. The county's responsible for healthcare, and so it has a hospital. So that's number one. And so you have to make people understand, okay, all right, I get that. Number two, while you just said what you said as far as take you there, I'm with you on that. A lot of people have never had that experience before. So it's like, why does it matter to me? Well, it matters because of when it comes to trauma and things of that nature, that's where you want to be. Now, you probably don't want to stay there long term, but you want to go there and get patched up and go wherever you want to be when it comes to that. But here's the other aspect of it. Because it's the county's responsibility, because the boiler systems are there so old, electrical system and everything else, here's the reality. If we have a catastrophic event in our community, and we just got finished talking about a pandemic, so let's not say it's not possible. We all know, we don't like to talk about it, we all know that we sit on a magic fault line, which hope never happens, but we do. But quite frankly, if we have a catastrophic event from a power outage, things of that nature over time, people quite frankly are going to die in that hospital because of the length of the age of the equipment and everything else in there. And again, you don't build a new hospital every year. You probably wait 40, 50 years when it comes to that. Well, now is the time. So proud of that, because we're going to help continue to save lives when it comes to that. We're going to attract world-class doctors and surgeons to our community, which is great. We're going to do some things creatively by moving that hospital to a blighted area, quite frankly, to revitalize that area. So there's so much good that comes with that, quite frankly, in addition to, quite frankly, just saving people's lives at the end of the day. And that's, and again, while we hope that everyone has adequate health care, we can talk about another topic when it comes to some of these bills that are coming down federally, but we hope everyone has adequate health care and it has a PCP or OBGYN or whoever you can go see. Well, quite frankly, unfortunately, a lot of folks in our community only get health care when they go to a clinic. They only get health care when they go to a hospital or go to the emergency room or a place like Regional One. And so we got to make sure we're standing it up for our community, quite frankly, so that we can continue to save lives, so we can continue to be world class. And we say that for Shelby County, but quite frankly, that's the reason why it's called Regional One. It doesn't matter where you are in our region, that people from Mississippi, Arkansas, Missouri go to that hospital if they're in the area. If the president of the United States, and this is what it says, if the president of the United States is in our area and they have a catastrophic event with the president, the first place they're going to take the president of the United States is Regional One.
My God.
Because it's trauma. That's what it said right in the writers, right? So those are reasons why we really had to take that into importance, because a lot of people will say, why is that important to me? Why should my tax dollars be spent on that? Well, because it's our responsibility. The same way someone may say, why should my tax dollars be spent on new schools? Well, because we pay for education. That's the county's responsibility. So I'm proud of that. I'm proud when we can lean in and do some good. And also we'll have some community good as well, because it's going to attract so many people that want to live here, I believe.
You know, Commissioner Mikhail Lowry, you have, for the last 7 years, I have seen you personally be involved and do the work. And again, you have been a face, especially for me, for especially some of our younger African-American males. They're able to see a young man that's true to his wife, true to his children, but true to his community and is leading. So many times we have so many young people, unfortunately, have went astray, but now looking at you, they're able to see hope. But also, one of your initiatives, I know the tips, listen, I love about making money, love businesses, We're grateful for that. I love pre-K, so our children now can read better. They won't be graduating and reading at a fifth grade level. Now they'll be able to read at their level or beyond because of educational pre-K, because your message matter. But one of the things I really want to hone in on our last, because I don't want to leave time on the table, is looking at you as being a young African-American male. You've seen some of the challenges, but you also seen the opportunities, right? Because you're optimistic. That can happen when black male, young people, black, white, Hispanic, whatever your national, have the right intervention. And so you guys were part of Justice Involved. You tell me about that and how our people can really understand what Justice Involved Youth entails and how it benefits and how you use your message to champion this initiative.
Yeah, you know, thank you for that. I tell you, obviously our Justice Involved Youth are just that. People that have been involved in our justice system, they made some mistakes and obviously got involved with law enforcement. You know, I did some crazy stuff back when I was in high school, and thank God I didn't have social media. Thank God I had second chances and everything else. So sometimes you just got to understand that everyone deserves a second chance when it comes to that, right? Especially those people who want them. And so, you know, we made sure that we leaned into that by hopefully, you know, building new facilities, because where you are matters, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in a place that doesn't have windows and, you know, and you can't see outside or don't have a place where you have any recreation, what do you think they're going to be like when they get out of there?
Animals.
Right? That's exactly right. That's what we've been treating them as. But even before that, what I'm a real big proponent of is youth mentorship. You know, Talisa, a lot of folks don't know this, but before, you know, I was elected, before I had children, I was a youth football coach for 13 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Coach Larry.
Yeah. Coach, hey, no, they call me Coach McHale.
Coach McHale.
Yeah, and they still do that to this day because, you know, I coached for 5 years in Bartlett, 5 years in Carrieville. My last 3 years of coach were in Whitehaven. And some of those young men now are coaches themselves. They're fathers. Because now I was back in my day, right? So, but, you know, I was really proponent of trying to make sure that, you know, those people had mentors and leaders, because I know what those coaches did for me in my life. So hopefully they won't be justice involved. Or if they are justice involved, they say, okay, you know what, let me go back to those things I learned from youth athletics or from the arts or wherever it may be. So we got to make sure we're leaning into those, because we got to make sure that the folks who want a second chance, notice I said the folks who want it, right? Because some folks who don't want it, we got to have laws in a place for those folks. But the people who want to have a second chance, we got to show them a way, because people will be what they see. Mm-hmm. So they're only seeing one sector of life and one sector of the community. And what do you expect? A lot of people seem to think that common sense is common, and it's not. It really goes into what you've seen in your life. So we got to make sure we're leaning into those things for our justice involved youth, because we don't want them to be justice involved adults. Right. I think we all can recognize that. We recognize that some people may have made some mistakes. Well, how do we put them on the right path going forward? And I've seen so many success stories. And so we can't be forgetting about those folks as well, because their responsibility. When I say our responsibility, the Shelby County responsibility, because your tax dollars pay for it. Your tax dollars turn the lights on and off wherever they are. It puts food on their plates and it closes them every day. So you want your tax dollars to be used effectively to where you have less of those things going forward. So we just can't forget about those, and can't forget about people who are involved in our justice system. But we also can't forget about making sure they have a place to have employment or learning trades going forward as well. We got to teach people something, because if we don't, we'll be right back at the same cycle going over again. And, you know, that's something we got to lean in from the county commission. I hope that we continue to do that for my last year there, and whatever we have going up next, I hope to continue to lead that initiative and that fight going forward, to making sure that everyone has a space and that no one's forgotten about in our community.
So I love you say everybody have a space and nobody's forgotten in our community. I'm sitting here and I'm just listening to you and just reminded that you're only been in a position for 7 years. And there's a lot of people that be in positions for up 10 years and never get anything accomplished. In your 7 years, I'm reminded that you got a new Fraser High School. You were able to be instrumental with Regional One. You're able to be instrumental with these TIF districts so we can have the investment in our communities. You've been instrumental with making sure pre-K is for everybody and educational. You understand that all of our youth may make some poor choices, but you're actually looking at them not to be treated like animals, but like human beings, so they can come back in because they can make a difference. You was instrumental in making sure the county employees were able to enjoy Juneteenth off. during COVID. You could have been not concerned about the beauticians and the barbers, but you were concerned and making sure there was grants, monies for them to live and not just survive, but still thrive while they were home. Because let's be real, we all had to learn what to do because we had never lived through a pandemic.
That's right.
There was not a blueprint. And I hear people say, oh, what? Baby, there was no blueprint on how to live through COVID. Mm-mm. There was no blueprint. But just to know that you were in office without a blueprint, but you were humble enough to know, y'all, we still need to take care of the people that relied on people coming in and out of their doors. And so that means you're just not a leader that wants to lead from the top, but you're a leader that can lead from all levels.
Oh, I appreciate you. I appreciate
you. So I applaud you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But I think, you know, hopefully that's something we're all doing. You're doing it in your space. And then, so I appreciate what you're doing as well. And again, that it kind of goes back to if people will see it. I mean, that doesn't mean you get recognition. That means it's going to be on the news or posted on social media. But that kind of leads into our culture. I know folks in our community want us to be, not say better. I want us to, they want us to realize, we've been talking about potential for years, right? They want us to realize it going forward. I know we can. I know we will. It's going to take all of us to get it done. It takes our leaders as well. And even if you don't think you're in a leader position, like I said, just touch one person. You just never know the impact that would have. So that's the kind of culture shift we got to have in our community.
And so I know there's one thing I meant to ask you, because a lot of times when you're looking at people in county government, city government, whatever, many people don't know who represent them, right? Mm-hmm. And I meant to ask you that because there are so many times I see people that don't really know what is the role of a county commissioner. Don't know the role from a county commissioner versus city council.
Right, right.
Don't know the role from a county mayor to a city mayor.
Right.
Don't know the role from a state a representative to a state senator. And I think, you know, we have to really make sure we help people. So first of all, tell us what communities, zip codes, however way you say it, that you represent. That way, if somebody is in need, they know they can call Commissioner Mikhail Lowry and he can help them.
Yeah, first of all, I tell, because you know what, Talisa, it's confusing. What you just mentioned, right? You just mentioned, and then forget, you got school board representatives.
Yes.
You can live in a community where you almost have 10 people that represent you in different aspects. So I tell anybody, listen, if you got an issue, send it to me. We'll figure out, we'll help you figure out the right person. But yeah, for the District 8, I'm very proud of it. I represent, I'll tell people it's about half of South Memphis. I won't go into the streets because if you're not from South Memphis, you may not know. South Memphis, Soulsville. I tell people I represent parts of Frazier as well. So send me if even any part of Frazier, doesn't matter. All of downtown, portion of North Memphis, Central Gardens. It's a vast area. Each county commissioner represents an area that has about 75,000 constituents in the area. So it's a vast area. So proud of that. But you're right. We have a different form of government than maybe some people may be used to, or people may understand. Or why do we have two mayors? Why do we have? Well, you have to have more than that when you come to it, right? And you think about it. Shelby County is made of seven municipalities, right? There's seven different, you know, cities. Obviously, Memphis being our largest one, they has their own mayors and aldermen and city councilmen. But at the end of the day, what we're supposed to be doing is working collectively to compete as a region. At the end of the day, to making sure that Shelby County is in the best position going forward. So there's some things that the county is responsible for, like education and health care and development. There's some things that the city's responsible for, no matter where you are, like paving your streets and picking up trash and police and fire. But all those things we got to work collectively, because you just can't just have work in silos. We all want the same things. We want the best health care possible. We want the best transit system possible. We want the best school system possible. We want our crime to be as low as possible. And we want to make sure that we're taking care of, you know, those with the least of these that want to have a leg up when it comes to those and making sure that we're taking care of folks. We have inadequate housing. So there's a bunch of needs that the county and the city both have that we got to work collectively to work to make sure things get done. So I know it gets confusing for a lot of folks, because some people will say, I got four city council folks that represent me. I got one county commission. Yeah, that's true. But if you got an issue, send it over to our office. We'll make sure you get to the right place.
And what's that contact number?
Well, if you send it to 222-1000, real easy number, 222-1000, that's our county commission office. You just tell us what zip code you live in, what your issue is, and we'll make sure it gets to the right person.
And what I love what you just said was you didn't confuse the people and try and tell them you need to call this, and that. You are the servant first. So you told them, call your office and you guys will help them from there. And a lot of times we don't have the people with a service heart to help others navigate that don't understand. And I like how you was able to break down the needs of the county and the needs of the city. And both of those needs should work together as a region.
Right.
But it's, again, the messenger matters. And today, if I had to title a show, it was Messenger Matters with Mikhail Lapp.
Oh, right? I like that.
You know? The messenger matters,
that's
right?
That's right. That's right.
Because you have literally given us so much information that many people may did not know, and they maybe not even knew what your accomplishments were.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times we can see so much negative that we never even see what are the positive things this person has done to move the needle in our community. And I'm appreciative. Like I told y'all, he's only been in office. So he got one more thing to do. So he, when he get year eight, I'm like, you did perfect eight, right? You did the perfect eight.
That's right.
But y'all, in 7 years, just to remind you, and I'm grateful that he's having a talk with me today, Shelby County Commissioner Mikhail Lowry, that is actually doing the work. Kudos. I was at the Fraser High School ribbon cutting. Y'all, let me tell you, that school is going to be top notch. Regional one, your TIF districts, your pre-K, your Juneteenth, your Justin Avive Youth, your beauty and barbershop grants, just to know that you've done all those things and you still yet working in the community. But I got to talk about his golf cart, Turner.
Oh,
because y'all know he loves golf.
Yeah,
his baby loves golf.
Yeah.
So we need to raise some money.
That's right.
By playing golf, right?
Oh, that's right. So this is my fifth year for the golf tournament I do for Lemoore Norton College. So we're excited about that. And for those who don't know, the reason why five is such important, because Lemoore Norton College is the fifth oldest HBCU in the country. A lot of folks don't know that as well, so we're excited about that. For those who like R&B and remember some of our old school R&B artists, we got Michelle A, who's going to be coming and entertaining us, do it at the hospitality tent. But it's always been a great event. It's going to be at Miramichi on August 16th. So if you want any information about that, reach out as well. 222-1000. Again, 222-1000, and get involved in our golf tournament. It's a great time, representing a great cause. So we're looking forward to it.
I love it. Thank you so much. Before we leave, thank you so much for being with us today. Give us your closing remarks.
No, first of all, thank you for all the work you continue to do in our community as well, Talisa. And again, everyone out there, appreciate you tuning in and listening. And again, just remember, let's touch someone. Let's try to impact someone. Let's change our culture when it comes to those things. It doesn't mean that we can contact everybody, that you're going to touch everybody, but you never know that one person that you affect may be the catalyst to change our community going forward. So never forget that. Always reach out and do for somebody what someone did for you.
I love it. Thank you so much. Yeah, I told y'all, Lisa, my show is Let's Have a Talk with Talisa, but today is really Messenger Matters with Mikhail, y'all, because he has given us how he's used his voice that to move the needle, the matter in our community. And I thank you for always being a champion for not a title, but for the community. And we need more people that is community driven and not title driven. And I believe that's your heart. You're all about community.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Want to send some special love out to the new Tri-State Defender family in the transition of Dr. K. We all love Dr. K. What an amazing journalist he is. Not he was, because amazing publisher, amazing writer. The thoughts and prayers goes out to the entire Tri-State Defender family, past, present, and future, that we will make sure that his name, his vision, his legacy will never die, because I think that is imperative. Just because people die on this side, we that's left on this side must continue to champion their work that they've done in the community. Hey, I'm your girl, Dr. Talisa Franklin. If you're not following me on all social media outlets, what's wrong with you? Make sure you follow me on Dr. Talisa Franklin so that you can stay connected to all things community, because I'm all about how do we move the community. And know this, baby. Know that I love you. Absolutely, positively love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever, and learn how to be the best version of you. But baby, because everybody else is already taken. Keep it locked right here to your favorite radio station in Crosstown Concourse, WYXR 91.7.
I started to thinking about you and me. We've been seeing each other 5 long years, and I'm wondering
if this all's gonna be. Woman, you know how I feel about you. You're the love of my life. I'm waiting for the day you'll meet me at the altar. I wanna make you my wife. I'm not trying to pressure you, lady, 'cause that's not the way. Why I wanna make you mine. I don't want the years to keep on passing me by to find I'm wasting my time. You see, lady, we're not getting any younger, and I'm ready to settle down. I was glad to marry you tomorrow at a courthouse downtown. I may not be the man of your dreams, but I'm the man by your side. If you can't see your future with me, let me know, and I'll gladly step aside. Tell me, am I Mr. Right? Or am I just Mr. Right now? Oh, yeah. Tell me, am I Mr. Right? Or am I just
I'm Angela Jackson. Come join me Wednesday mornings, 8 a.m. until 10 a.m. right here on 91.7 WYXR.
WYXR.
Hey, this is Robbie. Join me and my buddy Winston every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. for Song on the Radio. We play some stuff you're familiar with, some stuff you'd never heard, and some weird stuff.
Don't turn your back on me. Don't